So this morning's topic, which the title has been announced, so you probably have heard, is one which is, I think, at the very least of great interest. I imagine that many of us are very curious as to what, not necessarily I will have to say, but what anyone has to say, what in fact is the Torah position, both from a perspective of halacha and hashkafa regarding burial in Israel. I would like to say from the outset that I am going to present a range of different views. I'm hoping to challenge each and every one of us to consider and to appreciate perspectives on this that perhaps we haven't necessarily considered or perhaps we were not aware of before. But I would like to emphasize from the outset that I, in no way whatsoever, do I presume to be qualified, nor would this be the place anyhow for me to express anything which sounds like psak halacha, personal guidance. So for those who are making decisions, have made decisions and would like to review them, or advising others as to regarding yourself and others perhaps in the family as to what wishes may be and expectations regarding burial in Eretz Yisrael. So I encourage you, as always, to consult your own posek to make sure that all appropriate considerations are made. But again, this is an important topic. It's a relevant one, and as far as I can tell, it certainly seems as if there is a trend to be buried in Eretz Yisrael that has become much more popular over the past generation or so, for obvious reasons. I think that travel to and from Eretz Yisrael is something, up until unfortunately very recently, that we've completely taken for granted. Many who are Baruch Hashem of means have the opportunity to fly back and forth on a regular basis, and even those for whatever reason who have not made the permanent move while they are alive to settle and to live in the land of Israel have still made every effort to see to it that if they unfortunately are unable to live in Israel, at least upon their passing, they will be buried in Israel. And there's an entire business that has been created in order to facilitate this for many, many people. And this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about the different perspectives. So what I'm going to do right now is share my screen with you. I have already posted in the chat box the file. So if for those who would like to have access to these sources afterwards, you're welcome to take it from there as well. And of course, I'm happy to share with anybody individually if for some reason you are unable to retrieve it that way. So the hopefully Rabbi Shur, you can see the sheets. Okay, wonderful. So the sugya that we're going to talk about, while it is relevant, I suppose it could be relevant all throughout the year, is on my mind and perhaps on our minds a little more this time of the year. We just finished Sefer Shemos last week. We began Sefer Shemos this week, and towards the end of Sefer Shemos, we find two instances, very notable ones, where our avos, our forefathers, make explicit requests of their children to see to it that they will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The first example is in Parshas Vayechi, the Yaakov Avinu, realizing, of course, that he is going to die in Mitzrayim. So he calls his children, and specifically Yosef, and he says, So he is making a request that essentially Yosef commit, take a vow, to go ahead and commit yourself to the following kindness. See to it that I will not be buried in Egypt. I want to literally lie with my fathers. Please take my body and bury me in their burial place, namely in Maras HaMachpelah. And we know, of course, that Yosef accepts this commitment and makes a promise to his father that he will be buried in Maras HaMachpelah. In fact, he was. Similarly, we find at the end of Parshas Vayechi, Vayeshba Yosef is b'nei Yisrael imor, v'kod yivkoru l'kim aschem v'halisem esmosai mizeh. Now Yosef similarly makes a request that he as well should be taken from Egypt. Now the difference, of course, is that Yaakov Avinu was buried shortly after his Petira in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef was initially buried in Mitzrayim, for a variety of reasons. It was not so simple for him to go ahead and just be buried milchadchil in Eretz Canaan. But ultimately, upon leaving Mitzrayim, the Torah will tell us in several weeks in Parshas Beshalach that Moshe was the one who takes the initiative to see to it that the remains of Yosef HaTzadik are brought back to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, this was not a discussion with Avram Yitzchak. Avram lived in Eretz Canaan, died there, and he was naturally buried there in Maros HaMachpelah. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael, so of course that's where he was buried. But Yaakov being the first, and of course not the last, of our avos to die outside of Israel, made this explicit request. So the sense you would certainly get from these two very, very powerful stories that are recorded in the Torah, is that there is something of value, there is something to be gained by being buried in Israel, because Yaakov and Yosef both really, really made their descendants commit in a very serious way that this is something they are going to do. So this is something that prompted Chazal to ask the question. They were curious. Lama kol avos tovin mechaven kvuras Eretz Yisrael. Chazal are not wondering over here what's special about Israel in general. Of course, they take for granted, and maybe that's another question for another time. But specifically, why is it that the avos were toveya, that they had this strong desire, that they were sort of claiming the opportunity to go ahead and to be buried in Israel? What is so special about being buried in Israel? So the Medrash over here says several different ideas. I've highlighted them because I want us to appreciate that there are different ideas that are being conveyed over here. And I would say they all have one thing in common, and that is that they are somewhat esoteric. I think that the reasons that Chazal are explaining over here, while they are certainly important, I'm not suggesting that they are lacking in substance, but they are not ideas that are very concrete, and it is hard a little bit to understand and to appreciate what exactly it is that Chazal are highlighting over here. So the first idea over here says the Medrash, Amar Belaza Devarim Pego, which means the Gemara in Ksubas actually uses a similar expression when talking about this idea that there are secrets over here. There's a secret idea that's sort of embedded within this tradition. What exactly is that? So he cites a pasuk that we may be familiar with. This is a pasuk from Tehillim that we say is part of the Hallel. Hishalech lifnei Hashem ba'artzo sachayim. Now, again, with no explanation that comes along with this, but I guess on a very, very simple level, what Chazal seemed to be alluding to over here is there's an idea of a person having the ability to be misaleich lifnei Hashem, that there's a certain experience. Of course, we know that a soul is eternal, and there is an idea of the soul continuing to walk, not necessarily in a literal physical sense, but to be, as Chazal sometimes say, be mebetayel began Eden. And the idea over here is to be misaleich lifnei Hashem, where? Ba'artzos achayim, in the land of the living. And Chazal seemed to be saying over here that there is something unique about Eretz Yisrael, which has that status. Another idea, Chazal tell us, why over here is it that the avos were mechaviv kvur Eretz Yisrael, shemei say Eretz Yisrael achayim techila b'mos HaMashiach. I know the Rabbi Hashioff just spoke about the Mashiach. I don't know if he alluded to this at all in his presentation, but there is an idea, of course, we know that part of the events surrounding the coming of Mashiach will be Techias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. And Chazal tell us that Meisei Eretz Yisrael will live first. And so therefore, it goes without saying that for those who want to be able to be Zoche Techias HaMesim, want to be among the first, to have that opportunity first. It doesn't say that those who are buried in Chutz L'Aretz will not have the opportunity to be Zoche Techias HaMesim, but there's an idea of there certainly be a priority, if you will, or at least in terms of the sequence of events, may say Eretz Yisrael first. I wish I could offer more in terms of explaining what that means and why that is so. I can't, but I'm just sharing what the Medrash has to say on this. And finally, Rabbi Chanina says that Misha meis b'chutz l'aretz v'nikvar sham shtei misos yesh biyado. Also, a very, very difficult idea to really define, somewhat cryptic, but that a person who dies in chutz l'aretz and is buried there, shtei misos yesh biyado. This idea is derived from a pasuk, and for the sake of time right now, we're not going to go through the midrashic interpretation of this pasuk, but suffice it to say the Chazal seem to be saying that Misa in of itself, of course, while it's a part of life and it's not really something that we can escape, we are all mortal, that is on a certain level, that's sort of, if you we'll call it sort of a setback for the soul, that's sort of something that we would like to forestall as much as possible. Well, to be buried in Israel is like, also has like sort of the status of a second Misa. In other words, if we could only die once, that would be better than dying twice. twice. And the Gemara in Ksubos, in the source number 3 in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, says another idea. There's an idea over here that having the opportunity to walk in Eretz Yisrael is such a great zechus that a person who has this opportunity will be a ben olam haba. Says Rabbi Loz in the Gemara, wait a second, tzaddikim shebechutz la'aretz einam chayim? So what does that mean? That tzaddikim and chutz la'aretz, somehow they are lacking in this regard? They don't have this life of chayim olam haba? So Rabbi Loz says, no, are you they gilgul? That there is an idea, some of you have heard about this idea. Again, I'm just going to translate the word because for the moment, that's the best I can do. Gilgul, we often translate as sort of rolling, this idea of sort of the rolling of the bones of the remains of a person at the time of Tachiyas HaMeisim. The Gemara says, wait a second, isn't this a tsar? Won't this be painful for tzaddikim? And Abayi says, mechilos nasus lehem bakarka. There are mechilos, there are tunnels that will be, excuse me, that will be a dug in the ground, which will make the process more comfortable for tzaddikim. And the Gemara then wonders, why then were Yaakov and Yosef so insistent that they be buried in Eretz Yisrael? After all, they're tzaddikim, they should have nothing to worry about. And the Gemara responds that they were not so confident in their status as being tzaddikim. We think of Yaakov Avinu and Yosef at Tzaddik as being, of course, tzaddikim, the greatest tzaddikim, but they, in their tremendous humility, did not necessarily see themselves in that light. And so therefore, they were concerned about the implications of being buried outside of the land of Israel. The Gemara in the same daf in Ksubis, this is the end of Maseches Ksubis, which talks all about the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, many different aspects of living in Israel. And obviously, it's natural that this discussion appears in that sugya. So the Gemara says another idea, and that is called a cover by Eretz Yisrael, ki'ilu cover tachas hamizbeach. One who is buried in Israel, it's as if he's buried tachas hamizbeach. We're going to see in a few moments the Rambam, when he paraphrases this Gemara, he goes out of his way to say this is not to be understood literally, and the Gemara seems to imply that with the ki'ilu, it's not. What it means is that just as the mizbeach is something which facilitates kapara, so too when a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's ki'ilu cover tachas mizbeach, meaning that this person enjoys a special kapara. And the Gemara seems to imply that because it says, mizbeach adama tasali, uksiv hasam v'chiper adma so amo. So the Gemara is comparing both of these psukim, which refer to the adama, the earth, and specifically Eretz Yisrael. And just like the mizbeach, which is made of adama, of earth, is one which facilitates kapara, so too v'chiper adma so amo, the adama of Eretz Yisrael is one which brings a kapara. So there are different ideas over here that are, again, maybe overlapping in some ways, maybe separate ideas, that Chazal are basically saying that both on a spiritual level, in the moment, in terms of facilitating kapara, maybe in a more expedited fashion, because we know that Misa itself is mechaperes, and perhaps what happens after Misa can be part of a kapara, but this is something that can only help. And also, la'asud lavo, in order to facilitate tchiyas ha'meisim happening in the most painless and expeditious fashion, so a person would want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this, what we presented so far, seems to be, different ideas, but all essentially conveying the same idea, and that is that there truly is only what to be gained by being buried in Eretz Yisrael. There doesn't seem to be any downside. There's no reason whatsoever why Chazal, based on what we've seen so far, would discourage a person who, for whatever reason, did not live in Eretz Yisrael to be buried there. That's the impression that we would get. But of course, that's not the only side to the story. So there is a Talmud Yerushalmi, which is found in source number 5, which says that the Gemara actually is recording an incident that happened. Rebbe Bar Kiryev and Rabbi Lazar have a Tylan Isterin. The Gemara tells a story about several Tanoim that were being Metayel Beisterin, and they saw Arono Shohi Barin Mechutz Laretz Laretz. They saw that there were Aronos, there were bodies of people who had died in Chutz Laretz, and they would be brought to Eretz Israel, just like you see today. I mean, you don't necessarily see it, but we hear about it all the time. This is Maisim B'chol Yom, and sometimes if you're traveling to Eretz Israel, you may even see in the airport, you may know that on the plane that you're on, there are people, Taka, who died in Chutz Laretz, who are being brought to Eretz Israel. So this is not a new situation. This is not something that that didn't happen back in Talmudic times. So the Gemara is telling us that this is what they observed. So look at the way they discuss this. Rebbe Bar Kiryeva said to Rabbi Elazar, Mahil Ilu Elu, what have they gained? Wow. He says, what are they gaining? What's the problem? So he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ani kori aleihem v'nachlasi samtem b'lisoeva." It's a difficult pasuk to read, not necessarily to translate, but to that as well. V'nachlasi samtem b'lisoeva. They have taken my nachla of Eretz Yisrael, and they have made it a toeva, an abomination. When did they do that? B'chayechem, in their lifetime, in your lifetime, in their lifetime. Meaning, look, they chose to live outside of Israel for whatever reason. So they made my land a toeva. It was not important for them to live there. Vatavou vatatamu esartzi, and now they come and they are metame my land. We know that when a person is dead, so a corpse is a source of tumah, tzaviyah bosa tumah. So here now they bring tumah to Eretz Yisrael b'misaschem. Wow. So according to this, at least according to Rabbi Lazar, who was of this opinion, the benefit of coming to Eretz Yisrael is when we're alive. I once heard somebody say, we say, you know, in the benching, v'solichenu komimiyos li'artzeinu. We say that Hashem should bring us le'artzeinu, how? Komimiyos. Komimiyos means upright, standing upright. So obviously that is to be understood metaphorically, but we can even understand it literally as well, that we want to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael standing up. You want to be able, whether you have done business class or economy, okay, that doesn't matter, but the bottom line is you're sitting up. You're not coming lying down, you know, in a box. But if you're going to come at that point, not only is it too late, better stay in Chutz Laretz, because based on this pasuk, v'nachlasi samtem l'soeva b'chayechem atavo v'tamosatzi b'misaschem. And then he said back to him, kevin shehin magin l'aretz Yisrael hinot l'mgush ofar menichan ala ronan. He says, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they take a gush offer. They take some earth, dirt from the land, and they place it on the aron. I should point out that this perhaps is an inspiration for a minhag that we have to this very day, that when people are buried today in Chutz Laretz, they actually take a little bit of earth from Eretz Yisrael and place it inside of the aron. This is customary. Chevras Kadisha all over the world have this custom of taking some earth from Eretz Yisrael. The Geshur Chaim talks about this custom. I'll just mention parenthetically, he says that we shouldn't think that this qualifies on any level to be kvuras Eretz Yisrael. No, but it's a nice minhag. First, he wonders whether there's really any basis for it whatsoever, but he says it's a nice minhag to do, and minhag Yisrael Torah, and it's something that we should certainly support and respect. But of course, this doesn't count as the real thing. This is not kvuras Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabban, source number 7, has a similar idea. The Zohar, almost word for word, again, using the Zohar's terminology, says a very similar idea. Taman taninan mandanafik nishmasi b'rishus ha'achra. If a person died in a different rishus, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael, v'gufa dilei iskaba ba'ara kadisha, and his body is brought and buried in Israel, k'siv, it says, quoting this pasuk, v'savo v'tamus achsi v'nachlisi samtam l'toeva. So you see, the Zohar also has this idea. So from these sources, one would get the impression, you know what, maybe better just be buried in Chutz Laretz if you died in Chutz Laretz. We're not talking about a situation where a person died in Eretz Yisrael and wants to be buried in Chutz Laretz. That sounds like a very strange question. You should know that Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva about that as well. It didn't make the sources here, but in the Yabi Omer, he has a tshuva. There was a woman who was visiting Israel and died there unexpectedly, but she had made very explicit beforehand that she wanted to be buried together with members of her family who were buried in Chutz Laretz. That's very unusual. Usually you don't hear about people who die in Israel and be brought to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But from here, you certainly get the impression that it's not so simple if you die in Chutz Laretz to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. But maybe we could say that it's not so simple. Maybe there's a sort of a pshar over here, or maybe it depends, if you will. The Gemara in Ksuba is going back to source number 8, to that Gemara that we mentioned earlier. Ula have a rugged avaselik le'Eretz Yisrael. Ula would travel back and forth on a regular basis between Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael. Nach nashe b'Chutz Laretz, and as fate would have it, unfortunately, he died in Chutz Laretz. So asur amalei l'Rabbi Lazar. So they told Rabbi Lazar that Ula had died in Chutz Laretz. Amar and Ula. So he said, "Oh, Ula." And he quoted the pasuk in Amos. We didn't see this pasuk. It's a different pasuk. Al adama tmei atamos. Oh, he says, and he's not saying this in any sort of complimentary way. So unfortunate that Ula died where? On adama tmeya, on literally an impure land. So Amr lo, but they said Aronoba. But look, his Aron is coming, meaning he's coming to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the problem? So Amr lehem, he says, Enu dome kolatato mechaim lo kolatato lachamisa. He says you can't compare the word klita for those of you who may be familiar with the, we use the word in modern Hebrew describing the absorption into Israel, ironically, we talk over there about a different type of absorption, but he uses that, using that same expression over there. You can't compare the way the land absorbs someone, mechayim, who is alive, to the absorption la'achar misa, meaning enachinami. He seems to be acknowledging, yes, there is something, in fact, gained by being buried in Israel, even if a person didn't. But nevertheless, ein odama, you can't compare. So this Gemara seems to leave us with the possibility that while it may not necessarily be ideal, there may in fact be something gained. But we don't yet know. Is this a machlokes? Is it that there are just two different opinions over here? And the Gemara Yerushalmi is basically saying, bad news. It's not enough that you despise my land when you were alive, but now you're going to come to be metame my land la'achamisa, just stay in Chutz Laretz, or maybe it's not the same, but there's what to be gained. So it seems as if the Kuzari and source number 9, I don't know if he's coming directly to address what appears to be conflicting sources. Regardless, he does come up with sort of a pshara, and like I'll read it together with you in a moment, but almost like it depends. It depends on the situation of who we're talking about. How so? So look what he writes. He writes, "Va'amru chazal say kol hakaver be'eretz Yisrael ki lo kaver tachas ha'mizbeach." That a person who's buried in Israel, again, as we mentioned, there's a special kabara. It's like the buried tachas ha'mizbeach. And Chazal praise a person who died in Israel more than a person who had to be carried there la'achar misa. As Chazal say, in adoma kolatato mechaim lo kolatato me'achar misa. Aval amr b'misha hayu yachal adorba v'lo darba v'tziva la'seso so la'achar moso b'chayechem v'nachlisi samtem l'toeva u'mesaschem atavo v'tamu sartzi. So Yehuda Levi basically says, listen, not every situation is the same. If a person chooses to live outside the land of Israel, and we're not going to go into right now what exactly that means. I'm not going to comment on that whatsoever, but you could use your imagination. If a person has the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael, but for whatever reason, chooses to live outside the land of Israel, so that's where Chazal are especially critical of such an individual and say, you know what? You chose to live in Chutz Laretz when you were alive. Well, it's too late, and don't come la'achar misa. That is something which is, again, is not something which is viewed favorably at all. However, Kuzari doesn't say this explicitly, but seems to imply a person who, more by circumstance rather than by choice, was unable. Life did not allow for him to be able to live in Israel. So regarding that case, we would say eino dome kolato mechaim lo kolato nachamisa, but not to suggest this or imply that that it's somehow ibizayin, if you will, to Eretz Yisrael to come afterwards. The Rambam doesn't necessarily seem to address this explicitly, but quotes many of these ideas and weaves them together in a way that seems to present the different possibilities over here. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim writes, "Am chachamim kol shochin Eretz Yisrael avanosav mechulin." This is not something we've seen yet, but living Eretz Yisrael is a great zechus, which leads to mechilas avonos, and even walking Arba Amos, zochel chayil maba, v'chein hakavur ba, this chapar ba, says Rambam, a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, special kapara, uki'ilu amakum shubo mizbeach kapara, as the pasuk says, v'chiper al naso abo, u'parani yesu omer, al adoma tmei atamos, v'in adoma kolata mechayim l'kolat ton achamoso. And it said that in somewhat of a critical, of a disparaging way, that a person unfortunately was unable. This is what was said regarding Ula, who died in Chutz Laretz, that Adama Tmeya Tamus, and you can't compare Kalita, the absorption of the land, Mechayim, to Achamisa. But never he says, the Rambam says, even though it's true that it does seem as if Chazal are very critical of living in Eretz in Chutz Laretz and being brought to Eretz Yisrael for Kvura, yet he says we see that Gedolei Chachamim have done this, and he says Sei Lamad, we could learn from the greatest Gedolei Chachamim, Yaakov Avinu and Yosef Atzadik. That's how we started this morning, this presentation. Yaakov and Yosef both lived in Chutz Laretz, and they chose to be buried in Israel. Now again, going back to what the Kuzari says, that's not necessarily a raya, because both Yaakov and Yosef were forced to be outside of Eretz Yisrael at that point. Yaakov Avinu was very reluctant. He didn't even want to go. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, listen, this is what you got to do. So he was, it's what we say at the Pesach Seder, that Yaakov, he didn't want to go, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he needed to go. So it's not really something, so it's not necessarily a raya. Now, what we haven't really discussed yet, but I want to segue a little bit right now in the remaining time, is what happens when a person has been buried in Chutz Laretz, and the family then wants to do what's called Pinuy Ames. They want to exhume the body and relocate the kever to Eretz Yisrael. So there is a sugya in halacha regarding Pinuy Ames. This is discussed in different places. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the mitzvah of kvur of Pinuy Ames. Generally speaking, it is not appropriate to go ahead and to move a body from one place to another. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Samach Gimel Yerodeh, as you see in source number 11, basically says we really try to avoid this. As a general rule, though, we would make an exception when there's a clear case of Kavod Ames. And time does not allow right now to really define what that means and how do we define Kavod Ames. But whenever it's considered to be an honor for the mace, we would, in fact, allow for Pinuy Ames. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins, v'chein kedei lekover be'eretz Yisrael mutter, that to move a person from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, again, after they've been buried already, to move the kever, this is something which is mutter. You, again, I know I'm speaking to many people over here. Some of you may know of situations with this, where this has happened. You may have been involved in this as well regarding family members. I would say that over the past year or so, there have been numerous situations that I'm aware of where people who unfortunately were unable to have Kvuras Eretz Yisrael as they had wanted because of great limitations due to travel during the pandemic, particularly in the first few months of the pandemic, when there were very, very strict limitations as to who could travel. And especially if a person, lo aleinu, died of COVID, they were not necessarily allowing, or there were too many things that needed to happen. So Lemaisa, there were people who wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael who couldn't be. So now, after some time has passed, many of these people that I'm aware of several cases, I'm sure there are many, many more, have actually since been moved to Eretz Yisrael to be able to be buried as per their wishes. So there is certainly a basis for this in halacha. And the Pischei Tshuva on that Sifrei Shulchan Aruch actually writes that even if a person in their lifetime indicated that it's not really something that they want, it is still permissible to do so. If they gave explicit instructions that they didn't want to be moved, then we should not do it. But even if a person didn't really seem to, you know, express any great interest in being married to Israel, this is still considered to be a kavod for the nifter. The Ratzvi Pesach Frank in the Tshuva Sartzvi was asked the question. It's fascinating. You appreciate a lot of the history over here. At the time of the death of the Kalina Rebbe, who died in America, so there was apparently a big discussion afterwards whether they should bring his body to Eretz Yisrael. He had already been buried, but there was a movement to bring him to Eretz Yisrael. And there were those who said, this is not right. This is not really something we should do. And so Frank quotes the halacha that we saw in Shulchan Aruch, and the Tshuvas Rabbah, who's very supportive of this idea, but he says something very interesting. And this is not really something that we had seen. I guess the Kuzari came close to this, but it's a little different. He says, everybody who knew, the Kalina Rebbe knew, that he really wanted to live in Yerushalayim when he was alive. That's what he wanted. And so therefore, there's no question that this is what he would want. Therefore, it's a mitzvah to bring him. It says you don't really want that on your head to obstruct that process, because you're going to be bringing pain to this great tzaddik. So he says that because of the fact that the Kalina Rebbe wanted to live in Yerushalayim when he was alive, even though he was unable to live there, we should respect his desires, la'achamisa, and to move him. There was a great debate between Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yosef regarding a similar effort. I mean, it's similar in the sense that there was a big debate at the time, as there were people who wanted to move the remains of Moses Montefiore, who was buried in Europe, to bring him to Eretz Yisrael. So I did not record Rav Avadia's tshuva over here. Also in Yabbi Omer, forgive me, I there was a limit as to how much I wanted to put on these sheets, but Rav Avadia Yosef, and this part of that is written up in the eighth volume of Tuchumin, ruled that it was a good idea. It was permissible to bring him. We know that Moses Montefiore was obviously he was a great philanthropist, but gave a lot of money to Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore had a very, very special kesher to the land of Israel, even though he didn't live in Israel, even though he died in Chutz Laretz. So Reb Moshe over here, who I should mention, you'll get a little sense over here, but you get a sense from other places as well, was not so enamored by the idea of people being buried in Eretz Yisrael. People who lived in Chutz Laretz going to Eretz Yisrael, this is not something that Reb Moshe seemed to be very excited about over here. Now, over here, he issues a psak, and in the process of giving his opinion, he says something very interesting. He says over here, it is usur, it is forbidden to go ahead and to move the remains of Moses Montefiore and his wife to be buried in Israel. And he says that the reason is because the only heter to do this is for children, meaning for direct descendants to go ahead and as a display of honor to their parents to move them, that's one thing. But this is not a mitzvah, which is mutal on the entire tzibur, that we're going to go ahead and start moving the remains of people who we hold in very high regard because of the contributions to Klal Yisrael. And look what he says. And he says, if we're going to do this, so then what does that say about all the other great Gaonei Olam, Tzadikim, Kedoshim, Shechobadim, Yos, Chutz Laretz? There are many, many great Tzadikim in all lands, Ben Gaonei Ashkenazim, Ben Gaonei Asfardim, who are buried in Chutz Laretz. Why are we going to be so selective and say we're going to move this person and not that person? So Moshe basically says it is usur. This is not something that he viewed favorably, and he said that it should not be done. Very interesting. I heard a shiur a number of years ago. I was unable to review it in preparation for this morning, but I'm pretty confident that I heard what I'm about to say, and that is that Moshe himself seemed, both in terms of his expressed wishes for himself as well as the way he would handle questions like this in general, seemed like someone, as I mentioned already, who was not very favorable about this idea of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. But we know that Reb Moshe himself was buried in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe is buried in Harmenuchos. So what happened over there? So apparently, and I don't remember who, but someone, another great tzaddik, I don't know, died when Reb Moshe was still alive. And Reb Moshe expressed surprise that this person was not buried in Eretz Yisrael. And his family apparently observed this, and they therefore made the decision after Reb Moshe was nifted to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. It's very interesting. Moshe himself did not leave clear instructions that that's what he wanted. And to the contrary, the impression we seem to get is that this is something that he was not particularly passionate about or favorable towards, but his family made the decision to bury him in Eretz Yisrael because of this this reaction that he had. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I also heard in this year as well, told his family that he does not want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason that he mentioned, which we're not going to see on the sources, so I should mention this here, is that he was concerned about the inconvenience, maybe that's not the best word, but I'll use that word, the inconvenience to family members. We know that it's very meaningful for family members to be able to visit Kivrei Avos. And at the time, and this may still be the case right now, Rabbi Yaakov had many family members who lived in Chutz Laretz, and he didn't want to impose that burden upon them and wanted them to be able to visit his kever, you know, within reason when they wanted to. I remember hearing this, and this year, I remember Rav Daniel Neustadt, who's Rabbi Yaakov's grandson, said this. So, I mean, this was, this was reported from within the family that this was Rabbi Yaakov's wishes. In the Tshuva Shevet Alevi, so Rav Nazar basically says over here that at the end of the day, he says there doesn't seem to be much debate as to whether or not this is something that can be done. And if anything, you seem to get the impression that it's something that is proper. Again, that seems to be the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, where it says the Pini Ames, which is normally not permitted, is permitted under these circumstances. But He says, he acknowledges that this is not really something that I can call an actual chiyuv. You can't really call it a chiyuv. And then he quotes other poskim who are opposed to this, the Maram Shik, the Chasam Sofer, but he says maybe some of their concerns don't apply to them. Maram Shik, for example, was concerned that the process of exhuming a body is one that could lead to a greater bizayin ha'meis, because what happens if the body is severely decomposed and they're not going to be able to keep the body together, and it's going to require a great disruption, and it's not kedai. Just better to leave a person be. But he points out that today that people are generally they're buried in an aron, and you can go ahead and you could just take the entire aron from the ground and remove the person essentially intact without having to gather the different bones. So then this is something that would not necessarily be a bizayon, and so therefore he said that it's not clear that this is necessarily be a problem. I'm mindful of the clock, so I'm going to actually skip a couple of these sources because I want to share one more with you. Rav Henkin had another concern with the Gemara Ksubas Staf Ches. This is a completely different sugya. In the beginning, Maseches Ksubas says that it used to be in the days of the Tanaim, a long time ago, there were people who would put a lot of money into burial, all the trappings around burial. So the tachrichim would be very expensive, and perhaps all the different aspects of kvura would be very expensive. Rabbi Gamliel was very concerned about this because it was causing a big problem. There were people, you know, like today we have a lot of people who try to outdo themselves when it comes to simchas. L'havdil was going on when it came to funerals. And it becomes so difficult, so prohibitive, that Rabbi Gamliel was observing the fact that there were certain people who, unfortunately, were not burying their dead. They would just leave them because they couldn't afford to do it. So Rabbi Gamliel says, we have to stop this. And he instituted a new policy, which has been respected on a certain level and preserved, ad hayom hazeh, and that is that everybody is buried in the same very, very simple linen cloth, the burial shrouds, the tachrichim, which is the same for everyone. And this became the normal practice. So you see, Rav Henkin says, you see that Chazal were very concerned about the costs involved in burial, and were worried that if we do not set certain communal standards, so things can get out of hand, and it could put a very, very difficult burden on people. So Rav Henkin mentions this as a reason why he is opposed to being buried in Eretz Yisrael, because there are tremendous costs. I'm not going to go through all the costs right now. Do your own homework. Because again, what's considered a lot of money for me may not be a lot of money for you. I don't know, but I'm just saying that I think it's pretty much, you can't deny the fact that for a person who dies in Chutzlar to be buried locally, whether it's a few blocks from home or it's 20, 30, 40 miles from home, it's not the same as the cost involved in bringing a mace to Eretz Yisrael, both everything in terms of the travel and the Chavar Kedisha and family members travel as well. It could easily be, three, four, five times the amount, if not more. It can be very, very prohibitive. I remember several years ago there was a campaign going on here locally where somebody had made a request it was like their dying wishes. They wanted to be buried in Israel, and the family felt that they had the sacred obligation to honor the request. The problem is that the family didn't have any money, so there was an appeal that was made in order to honor this person's request. And some people were using the word meis mitzvah. This was not appropriate. First of all, it's not a case of a meis mitzvah, but it would seem very questionable whether it's appropriate to go ahead and to raise money, to raise tzedakah, to carry out a dying wish, to have something which really is, at the very least we could say over here, even if there's a benefit, it is somewhat of a luxury. It's not really something that's required. So that's something which is very questionable, and you could see how there are times that people could be in a tremendous amount of pressure to do this. Rabbi Willig, when I was once discussing this with him, he actually said to me, he says, when a person dies, you can't take it all with you. He says, unless the person makes a request that they want to be buried in Israel, you can take it all with you. The cost could be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. You can take it all with you. Now, Rabbi Willig was not saying, he was not posking that you shouldn't be buried in Eretz Israel. That was not the point. Please don't take that away. As much as we have to realize that there are real costs over here, and Rav Henkin was very, very concerned about this. He was worried about it, and he felt that it was really, he says, even though it's true, there are two different places. I don't have time to read through this right now. Two different places where he says some different ideas over here, but he says it's true. There may be a benefit in it, but the concern that he had for the community greatly outweighed that. And finally, in the Sefer Aleinu L'Shabeach, there's a story that's told over here about a person who died in Kletsk. And the question was asked to Ravon Cutler about bringing him to Eretz Yisrael. And he thought that it was better for the family to take the money and to take the tzedakah and use it for yeshiva, for other things. The Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer Avos Chesed, has a similar idea, not about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, but he just says that in general, he says there are people who put a lot of money into erecting a beautiful matzeva, which is very, very big and large and a great kavod for the nifter. So the Chafetz Chaim says the nifter doesn't care how big that matzeva is. He doesn't care how many, what's on it, he doesn't care. He says, you really, really want to do something that's meaningful for the neshama. So this is what it says. And Avos Chesed, go ahead and buy a shas and donate it to the local yeshul and yeshiva, and people will learn from it. And that'll be a great schus for the neshama. And interestingly, the Chafetz Chaim is mentioned here in the story as well, saying similarly that there may be other benefit, other reasons why it's beneficial not to bring a person to Eretz Yisrael, because there'll be more tzedakah that's given in the Sefer Devar Chachamim. This is the last source that I have for you over here, Rabbi Yashiv. So this question was asked to several poskim of the previous generation as to what's better. Is it better for the family to put the money into bringing some to Eretz Yisrael, to giving tzedakah? So yeah, different opinions over here. Rabbi Yashiv, it's reported over here, said that, you know, the mitzvah tzedakah is something which is mefurish b'Torah. There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Buried in Eretz Yisrael is not mefurish in the Torah. And so therefore, since you can have a proper burial, kedasu kedin and chutz laretz, better to do that and then give the money to tzedakah, and that's a better way to spend the money. But there are other opinions that are brought down over here. Rav Scheinberg, who apparently may have had a little bit of a change in his opinion about this, felt that in fact there is a great inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and perhaps there is a benefit that outweighs even giving tzedakah. So as I said before, this is something which is I told you from the outset, we're not going to reach an absolute conclusion over here, not something which is completely resolved, but it is fascinating to see the range of opinions that exist among the poskim, really throughout the generations, going all the way back to the days of Gemara, the way we saw that Rabbi Bar Kira and Rabbi Lazar were sort of debating when they saw that there were people coming from Chutz Laretz and Teretz Yisrael to be better buried, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And this debate continues, Ad Hayom Hazeh. The fact that we see that it becomes such a common trend, and this is something that happens all over, I would say that should not in itself be reason for us to assume that this is something that is a mitzvah, that this is something that we need to do, something that we should do. Individuals need to make their own choices, and I encourage, as I said before, I encourage everybody to do their homework, do the research, discuss it with your poskim, so you could make informed, responsible decisions. I will say, and with this I will conclude, that it is very important for people to make to decide where they want to be buried when they're alive, and if they're able to do so, to purchase burial plots when they're alive. That is a great chesed that we can do for our children, not to burden them with the having to make decisions that they may not necessarily know what we want. And if there are disagreements among members of the family, it's something that can be very painful, and you don't have a lot of time to think this through. Sometimes it has to be decided within a matter of hours or less, and so it is a great chesed for parents to relieve their children and family members of general of having to make those decisions. So without a doubt, we should make decisions about where we want to be buried, and if we're in a position to do so, to make arrangements beforehand so as not to pass on the decision and the cost to our children. But again, the question is whether for a person who's living in Chutz Laretz to be buried in Israel or not, as we see, that's a question which requires great shikul hadas. People need to make a personal decision after receiving personal guidance and halacha consultation. So I thank you very much again for this opportunity to learn together with you. I hope that you found this enjoyable and meaningful, and I look forward to learning with you again in the future. So thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Shor. Thank you to all the organizers of Kol Yom Rishon, and have a wonderful day.